This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Laura Bonner. She's Chief Program and Policy Officer with Animal Protection New Mexico, and she is manager of the Chimpanzees to Sanctuary Program. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's so great to be on.
It's good to have you back on the show. And at this point, talking about chimpanzees, and what I learned in preparing for this was that there is a long history of chimpanzees in New Mexico, of all places. How did that come about?
Right. Well, good question, because, of course, chimpanzees are not indigenous to New Mexico,
to say the least.
So chimpanzees were first brought to New Mexico by the Air Force in the 1950s for use in testing prior to manned space flight. So some people may have heard of Ham, the first chimp in space, and his name... One of the things you hear is that his name is short for Holloman Aero Medical. So the chimps were brought to Holloman Air Force Base, which is in Alamogordo in southern New Mexico. And 65 infant chimpanzees were brought from Africa. So, of course, taking a chimp away from the wild, from its mother, you know, that was a violent process on its own, right, where many... Likely the mother and many adults were killed, and it's very traumatizing to bring those chimps here in the first place.
Yeah.
But after the Air Force was done using them, they began leasing them, testing them, and then leasing them to other organizations who wanted to test on the chimps. And eventually the chimps were purchased and donated, and there was a toxicologist named Dr. Frederick Colston who had tested on human prisoners before that was illegal. But anyhow, he came to New Mexico, and he had said his goal was to have the largest chimp colony in the world, and he ended up achieving that. So probably like the late 1980s, early 1990s, and many listeners may remember this, there was a lab called the Colston Foundation in southern New Mexico. They had two locations. One was on the Air Force Base, and one was outside the base. And they did have the largest captive colony of chimpanzees in the world, about 600 at its peak.
And that very foundation was determined to be one of the cruelest to animals installations like ever.
That's
according
right.
to Jane Goodall and
That's
others.
Right. That's right. That lab was found to have the most Animal Welfare Act violations of any laboratory at the time. There was a lot of attention in the late 80s and in the 90s in Animal Protection of New Mexico. This is before I worked for this organization, but you know, we and many other groups and individuals were very outspoken about the suffering of animals that happened at that lab. But there were other big problems as well. For example, there was sexual harassment claims by employees there. It was a bad situation kind of all the way around. Eventually, after many years of scrutiny, and people, if they're interested in this period of history, can read a report called Lethal Kinship that's on the Animal Protection of New Mexico website. But finally, the Food and Drug Administration took away their license, and because their lab work had been horribly sloppy. I mean, we're talking about chimps who, some chimps died of heat exhaustion because they were neglected in basically with like a tough shed they were being housed in. I mean, it was such a mess in from every way that you look at it, from the employees who worked there, who, like I said, many of them became whistleblowers trying to protect the chimps who were there, to certainly, you know, the chimps who were used in everything from testing on seatbelt safety to trauma testing, like being shot with shotguns, testing on insecticides. So there's a story about a chimp named Donna, who was one of the original Air Force chimps, who was then later used by a number of research facilities, including the Colston Foundation. And she died because she was pregnant and had a miscarriage, and she didn't receive any medical attention. And 2 months after the miscarriage, they finally brought her into the operating room. And, you know, very sad story of what she went through. So all of that to say, the history of chimpanzees in New Mexico is quite dark.
Thank you for not... I read about that Donna and the thing on the internet is horrible, and thank you for not going into it.
Yeah. I mean, I only bring up the sad stuff to say what a change that New Mexicans have made on this issue over time.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, there was so much public outcry, whistleblower outcry mm-hmm. on the part of the people who worked there. And even so, the change, I mean, it came, but the change was slow. It's a long process.
That's right. So in 2001, that's when the Colston Foundation eventually shut their doors. And at that time, the National Institutes of Health basically took custody to half of their chimpanzees. So that was mostly the group who was on Holloman Air Force Base. And then a organization that's now known as Save the Chimps, a sanctuary, came in and took custody of the other half of them. So it was a tremendous, huge rescue of about 300 chimpanzees that Save the Chimps took on in 2001. And eventually they moved all those chimps from New Mexico to Florida. So I know a lot of New Mexicans have been involved with supporting Save the Chimps, which is an awesome organization. They used to have a location in Alamogordo, but like I said, they've all moved all of their chimps to Florida. But still, even at 2001, you know, at that point, there was no further invasive testing allowed on the chimps here in New Mexico, although it did still happen around the country.
Now, up until that point, when you talk about invasive testing, I mean, we're not just talking about seatbelt safety and exposure to toxic chemicals, but like injecting them with HIV and hepatitis and things like that.
Yes, and you know, in around that time, there was the late 80s, early 90s, there was an interest in using chimpanzees in HIV research because they could carry the virus. So, for example, there are still chimps on Holloman Air Force Base today. All of them have been exposed to HIV and hepatitis.
Do they get AIDS?
The disease does not progress in the same way. And, you know, fast forwarding to today, when we no longer, finally, we have stopped all use of chimpanzees in research, even though chimps are so, so similar to us in terms of their DNA and certainly in terms of their emotional complexity, the disease process is not the same. So when you look at their details, the genetic details of their immune systems, it's not the same. Certainly the chimps all have a lot of chronic illnesses today because of their use in research, but they don't develop in exactly the same way that humans develop these diseases.
To what extent has chimpanzee research been beneficial to developing cures or treatments for diseases?
That's a good question. And I think, you know, today we know that conclusively that there's no need for chimpanzees in research. I think over the past few years, this debate really intensified in New Mexico starting around 2010. As you may remember, the National Institutes of Health had announced plans to close down the Alamogordo Primate Facility and move all the chimps from southern New Mexico to Texas for further testing. And that was a big, big point of outcry. And it led to this scientific study that said, do we even need chimpanzees in research anymore? And they looked at all these diseases, and the conclusive answer was no.
And that wasn't a rhetorical question. That was a real question. Do we need them?
That's right.
How much good are they doing?
That's right. And, you know, a lot of credit is due to Senator Udall and Senator Bingaman, who was our senator at the time, for requesting that Institute of Medicine study that looked at those questions of, you know, here in this modern age, do we still need to be doing this kind of research on chimpanzees who we know are so close to us and suffer so tremendously when held in lab settings? The question you asked earlier, was it ever any good? I think my understanding is that, for example, things like hepatitis B and hepatitis C, again, the virus could live in some cases in the chimp's systems. But whether those things actually translated into cures or that would have happened without the use of chimps, I think it is hard to say if that's the case.
We're talking to Laura Bonner of Animal Protection New Mexico, talking about chimpanzees. Now, one of the things that I don't think we really talked about yet is that we had some chimps in space. Is that true?
That's true. That's true. And if anybody's been to Alamogordo, there's a space museum there, and you can see images, and certainly the internet people can Google images, and they're familiar with Ham and the other chimp Enos, who did orbit space. You know, at the time when the Air Force was training those chimpanzees to be launched into space, they were using negative reinforcement. So people who have dogs are probably familiar, like, with positive reinforcement. You know, you teach your dog to sit and you
give him a treat.
Right. They trained the chimps using shocks on their feet if they did something wrong. And so one of the things that happened to Enos was when he was orbiting, the system malfunctioned. And so every time he was supposed to do something correctly, instead of it, you know, it would shock him instead. But he was so, he still performed everything correctly. And then he died shortly after coming back to Earth.
Oh my goodness.
It is very, there's a great nature documentary that talks about specifically some of the space chimps. There's a man who's passed away now named Ed Dittmer, who was one of their trainers. And he talks about how there should have been a little ticker tape parade, at least for the chimps coming back.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, chimps are highly intelligent primates, and they're more like us than any other primates, but they still don't have the capacity to say, I went into space and I'm proud. You know what I mean? I mean, they're animals, and for them, it's probably not, there's probably no upside to it.
No, I mean, this was not a voluntary operation for any of these chimps to be taken from the wild, raised in these incredibly unnatural environments, not having the experience to be chimpanzees, to socialize and form these normal relationships. It can be quite sad to think about what they have suffered and all they have endured. Although I think, thank goodness, I think there's a lot to celebrate right now, especially as, you know, just in November of last year, the National Institutes of Health announced that they would never again use chimpanzees in research. And their focus is now shifting to how many chimps they can get into sanctuary. So we can't go back in time and take away these bad things that have happened. But there is a great opportunity right now to celebrate the huge changes that have been made and to kind of turn the page on all of the... We don't want to forget the bad stuff that happened,
yeah.
But there's an opportunity to, for the individuals who are alive today who've survived many, many years of horrible suffering, to give them something back, to give them a chance in sanctuary at peace and dignity, and that is just so thrilling and exciting.
Aren't we the last country to get rid of chimp research, medical research?
That's correct. So when you look at the rest of the developed world, you know, they have stopped using chimps in research. And even 2010, 2011, 2012, you were hearing more and more from pharmaceutical companies saying, we don't use chimps in research. Scientific American published an editorial called Ban Chimp Testing in 2011. So there's been more and more of awareness of, I think, the ethics of the issue and how unethical this practice is. But also the scientific knowledge that, gosh, the past 10 years of research today, we would say that's not necessary for human health. That's
yeah,
helped
so
change
it didn't,
things, too.
It just didn't benefit us or didn't benefit us enough to justify the cruelty. And that kind of cruelty, I mean, when you think about it, being in a cage, not having your social environment, being injected, not understanding, but being sentient enough. I mean, there are people who are against every kind of animal testing, and there is a lot of cruelty to rabbits and mice and Lord knows what other animals, and I don't even like to think about it, and I'm not sure I could do it, but one could sort of like maybe justify it with mice. But I mean, I've met scientists who say, I can work on mice, but I could never work on a primate.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Jane Goodall said to this Institute of Medicine study that convened in 2011, you know, when you, for chimps, it's like torture. They have no choice. They don't know what's going on. They're being held against their will. And certainly when you look at their medical records, you know, the oldest chimpanzee still alive in New Mexico is named Flo. She's 57. When you look through her medical records and see all the crazy things that she's endured, including attempts at escape, including being paired with all these different males to have four different babies that were all taken away from her, you know, immediately or days after for use in research. Also, there's research now that shows that chimpanzees exhibit the same signs of PTSD that people do who were used in research. So they're a lot more like us than they are different. And getting to know the chimps as individuals has been such a privilege in my work in the past few years. And I hope that this awakening that I think many people have had in their hearts, that we shouldn't use animals in research, that has led to the chimps being finally freed from research after all this time. I hope that we will keep extending that kind of level of inquiry both within our heads and our hearts to the other animals who are used in research, who are also individuals, and also to look at it critically, which is what the chimp study did, to say not just is it helpful or is it interesting, but is it necessary to do this with all of the advances that we have in science. I mean, there is I went to a awesome seminar about a person or a firm working on developing vaccines. They have a human red blood cell that they have put the human DNA into to test vaccines on that doesn't require any animal testing. And then it's much more accurate because you're testing it on a human model.
Right.
There's a lot of possibility, especially when we're thinking about it from both a scientific mind and also an ethical mind.
You have met chimps. Tell us about that.
So exciting. Yes. So in 2010, I was able to visit the Alamogordo Primate Facility, which is on Hellman Air Force Base. And like I said, at that time, the United States was still using chimps in research, although the testing wasn't happening in New Mexico anymore. And the person who was giving the tour of the facility, you know, is from, works for a biomedical research firm. And so she's talking to us as we enter the facility about how many protections animals in labs receive. And all of a sudden, this chimpanzee rushes from the back of the enclosure to the front and spits water all over all of us.
Do you think that chimp understood?
That was Flo, the chimp I mentioned earlier. Uh-huh. And, you know, especially getting to go through her medical records, everything that she's been through, being captured in the wild as an infant. She was trained to smoke, to perform in a circus. She was exhibited in a zoo in Memphis. I mean, Flo demonstrates a lot of intelligence and personality and sensitivity to the situation.
I mean, does she know English? When somebody says, oh, they're treated so well, and she says, essentially, I spit on you, is that a coincidence?
I don't think it's a coincidence. And I know, you know, Governor Richardson was a huge advocate on this issue. Thank you so much to Governor Richardson for all he's done on this issue. I know he said when he visited the Alamogordo Primate Facility that Flo made a big impression on him, too. So I think she knows a lot about what's going on. I've also been able to visit chimpanzees at other sanctuaries, who have gotten out of these lab settings and are able to live in a normal, able to be a chimpanzee, able to climb trees and decide what they're, you know, when they're going to take a nap, when they're going to interact. I mean, there is really nothing so life-affirming that I've been able to experience is to see people use our intelligence and our big heads for kindness and good and kind of doing the right thing for these chimps after so many years. It's super.
We're talking to Laura Bonner of Animal Protection New Mexico, talking about chimpanzees. And you were talking before the break about seeing chimpanzees when they go from these medical laboratory. And I would think that even in the best of cases, and the cases like the Colston Foundation that you were talking about in New Mexico is far from the best of cases, but even in a relatively ethical laboratory, they're in a laboratory. It'd be mm-hmm. like if you or I lived in a laboratory.
That's right.
Or worse, because
that's right.
You know, they are fundamentally outdoor creatures, and they suffer from PTSD. They do things like self-mutilation.
That's right.
They get pale, they get sick, they get neurotic, they get depressed. Then they're put in a sanctuary. Tell us what it's been like for you to see that. Do you see changes?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many wonderful stories. And if people are not already following, if people are active on social media, check out the chimp sanctuaries like Chimp Haven, like Save the Chimps, like Chimpanzee Sanctuary Northwest, that share so many of these compelling stories about the transformation that happens to these chimps when they're given the space and the time and, you know, the choice in their lives. And certainly wild animals belong in the wild, right? The best case scenario is that we don't have any more chimps in captivity because their needs are so complex and great, you know, very similar to people in terms of the complex social interactions and the space to roam and gather their own food. But the to see the chimps, you know, for example, from the course of our work over the past few years, the sanctuary Chimp Haven in Louisiana has like doubled in size. So I was able to visit there in 2010, and then I was able to go back there last January, and it's unbelievable. It's so fantastic to see, gosh, this thing that I think really is a great injustice, you know, the keeping of the torture of animals in these settings, to see that there be some payback to the survivors.
So they're running around and...
Yes! I mean, I was able to go last January, and there was a... the chimps spend spend the evenings, you know, indoors, and they were getting released into this beautiful 5-acre wooded area. So they can choose to stay in the woods, or they can choose to come right up to the edge of this moat, and they're panting and hooting and excited to be out in the sunlight, and you know, chimps are also like so have a great sense of humor, right? So like the little ones are doing somersaults and pulling at the bigger ones and trying to gather up as many pieces of watermelon as they can. I mean, it is really fantastic and really something that I think every single New Mexican who spoke up on this issue, because thousands of people have spoken up over the years, should feel so great about that. This bad, you know, this sort of, I would call it a bad history, has really can have a positive end for chimps in sanctuary. So that's the work ahead for this movement now, is to get these survivors. There's 168 chimpanzees from New Mexico, who originally held in New Mexico, that we still need to get to sanctuary. And what a gratifying work that is, and important, because, you know, a lot of these chimps are, you know, sick, and many are older. So,
and they can't go back into the wild, because mm-hmm. they wouldn't survive there any more than a cafe dweller would survive if you put us.
Well, and they also have diseases that could be transmitted to chimps in the wild too. So you're right, you know, for many reasons. But to get, you know, it's quite complicated, right? Making sure they're in social groups where everyone's getting along, making sure that they're still receiving top-notch quality veterinary care, which the sanctuaries provide. This is quite an undertaking, quite an ambitious undertaking, to move all these chimps to sanctuary, but it's really exciting and wonderful, and something that we're celebrating this month. Yes.
At Animal Protection New Mexico.
Yes.
Now, one of the ways that this has happened politically is that the Endangered Species Act came to include chimps in the United States.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Yes. So following this Institute of Medicine study, so it was so much political outcry here that I think really took off here in New Mexico around 2010, when the plan was to move these sick elderly chimps to research. Governor Richardson was very outspoken. All of our members of Congress came to be outspoken. You know, Martin Heinrich, before he was a senator, when he was in the House, he was a co-sponsor of legislation to protect chimps from research. I mean, Congressman Pierce down the Alamogordo Primate Facility is in his district, spoke out to protect those chimps from research. And finally, that Institute of Medicine study found they were no longer necessary. Then National Institutes of Health developed new guidelines to protect chimps from further research. And then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service took up this issue, which many people, including Dr. Jane Goodall and our partners at the Humane Society of the United States, have been pushing them to consider chimpanzees in captivity under the Endangered Species Act. So chimps in the wild have been endangered for years. A lot of that is due to habitat loss and poaching in Africa. But there was this thing called a split listing, where chimps in captivity were considered threatened, not endangered. So that allowed for really this trade, this trade in chimpanzees within the biomedical industry and also within the entertainment industry. When you see chimps, used to be, I think, quite a bit more common, chimps used in TV commercials, that sort of thing.
Right.
So finally, when U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service just made this decision, you know, just last year formalizing it, the chimps in captivity in the United States as well received protections under the Endangered Species Act. It just gives this additional layer of protection. And I think a lot of that trade in chimps, which has been so destructive and harmful to individual chimps, but also I would say to the species as a whole, cleaning that up is a great thing, and it's a step in the right direction for chimps.
Are chimps in sanctuaries reproducing?
Chimps, sanctuaries have a no breeding policy. That's part of what it means to be a chimp sanctuary. Well, an accredited sanctuary, you know. So there's not intentional breeding. They usually have the males vasectomized. Uh-huh. And then oftentimes the females are on birth control as well. There have been chimps who have accidentally reproduced in sanctuary. In fact, there was one male chimp who was responsible for three. He had been vasectomized multiple times and still continued impregnating chimpanzees. So they're not exactly like us, because the typical procedure that you would use for a human male to vasectomize a chimp, it would grow back. That's what was happening.
Wow.
This chimp named Conan, dad to a couple chimpanzees in sanctuary. But no, in general, to answer your question, in general, chimpanzees in sanctuary are not reproducing because of that reason, because the ethics of sanctuary is that, gosh, these animals are so precious and amazing. They really belong in the wild. Those ones who are in captivity that we have this obligation to, we're going to do the best that we can for them. But we would never want to perpetuate this cycle of kind of keeping chimps in captivity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And so those sanctuaries will, by necessity, cease to exist within a few decades.
Yeah, well, I think they might be looking at taking on other kinds of primates. I think I can't speak for the sanctuaries, but I've heard that discussed among the sanctuaries. So when you look at all the other primates, certainly in research facilities, but also who are in the entertainment industry or who are inappropriately kept as people's pets sometimes, you know, probably that need for sanctuary might be there for quite a while yet.
We're talking to Laura Bonner of Animal Protection New Mexico, and there's so much more to say about this, but it's almost time to go. People can kind of just like look this up online, because there are some timelines about what happened and the incredible work that organizations, including Animal Protection New Mexico, have done to keep a spotlight on this issue and how this issue has appeared in the media and gained political support, and how this issue of real animal cruelty to creatures who are so much like us has been transformed to the point where there is, as you say, real need for and room for celebration. And in fact, you are going to have a celebration at Animal Protection New Mexico here in Santa Fe at 1111 Paseo de Peralta. That's Saturday, the 26th of March, from 11:30 to 1.
Yes. So people in Santa Fe and people all over the state, I hope people can come to this party that we're having, and you can learn more about it by calling my colleague Marissa at 505-933-0572. But yes, it's this coming up Saturday, March 26th, at the end of the month, and we're going to have vegan banana splits to celebrate the chimps. And some of those things that you talked about, the timelines, all of this history of how many people have been involved over many, many years and helping to protect chimps. We're going to have some of that on display, and also an opportunity for people, if they want to be a part of this movement of helping these surviving chimps get some peace and dignity at the end of their lives in sanctuary. We're raising money for our Chimpanzee Sanctuary Fund, which is now making grants to sanctuary to help that happen faster, help the chimps move to sanctuary as quickly as possible.
It's just about time to go, but before we go, I would like to ask you, why should people pick up the phone right now and call 428-1393 and make a donation to KSFR?
Well, you know, community and being a real part of a community that we want to live in and that we want to be proud of is something that I think is our collective responsibility and also our individual responsibility. And whether you can give a small amount, which is something, you know, when I'm a donor, I have to give it a small amount, but you know, you can give monthly, and that is a way of contributing, not just through your personal thoughts about the kind of world that we should live in, but also through your actions and being a kind of the world we want to live in.
Laura Bonner, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. Go chimps!
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.